from Madison's in Beaumont for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present the Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town and Beaumont? How we doing?
He's Blank on Branham, Brendan behind the glass, B-Mac here on site. We are at Madison's in Beaumont, a Thursday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. This is a sweet spot here. You get the bar with the televisions right in front. I see tons of beers on tap. Might get my attention a little bit later. And then you got a little dining area over here as well. Can't wait to dive into the menu. I hear it's fantastic. But if you're in the Beaumont area, you're in the Golden Triangle area, swing on by, say hello to us. We'll be here until 3 o'clock. The Wheelhouse will be here until 7 o'clock as well. Swing on by, have a Miller Lite. I had an epiphany on the way here. I was kind of taking some back roads back from where I'm up north, trying to avoid the tolls a little bit because I'm cheap. But I drove by like kind of a vanity truck that had it was a Cowboys truck, like a Dallas Cowboys vanity truck, old school, decked out in the cowboy blue. You had the old, you know, the cowboy star right on the side of it. Are we in cowboy country in Beaumont? Is this cowboy country? Because, of course, you had Jimmy Johnson from the Golden Triangle area.
Well, that's true.
So
you're kind of on your way to Louisiana, so wouldn't it be like Saintsy as well?
Saintsy, a little
Paul
Saintsy.
Claimed it was Saints territory. He said that earlier to me today.
Let's take a poll. Is this a Cowboys? Is this Cowboys country? Raise your hand. I have a bunch of nods. People are raising their most of the people inside here are raising their hands. I believe we are in Cowboys country.
I'm offended early. It's Cowboys country.
The good news is, Cowboy country having a little more success than Houston Texan country, especially on especially on Sunday, slightly on Sunday. We'll get to the Texans here in a little bit, but this is a great spot. Swing on by, say hello to us. If you're in the Beaumont area, have a drink. If you're having a drink, make it a Miller Lite, have a bite. It's going to be a good time on this Thursday afternoon. I was cruising through Netflix yesterday. Really weren't any sports that caught my eye yesterday. There was some national basketball. It didn't really interest me a whole lot. There weren't really any college basketball games. Of course, no football on a Wednesday. So I turned on Netflix to see if anything caught my eye, and I realized that Last Chance U Basketball Season 2 came out. So I watched a couple episodes. Do you mess around with the Last Chance U at all?
I played with recently over the summer with a kid that was on Last Chance U Basketball Season 1.
Really?
Yeah, and he was working out with the U of H guys a little bit in the summer. I forget where he was going to try and go, but his dad was a college friend of Sean Respert. So he was playing basketball.
I do remember you telling me about that.
Yeah, and I think he was a starter on that team in the first season. But he was trying to find a different squad. I haven't seen them per se.
I think you would like him. You should check it out.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's a junior college. It's East LA.
Right.
They're kind of loaded in this season, too. I mean, I'm not going to look to see how they did because it's from last year. I don't want to spoil it for me.
Uh-huh.
But they have a lot of, like, really talented players. Because it's interesting, too, because you had the COVID stuff. So a lot of players kind of trickled down to junior college because you have extra players with eligibility, didn't have as many scholarships open. So it's pretty good play in JUCO. But it's cool. I mean, they follow around junior college team, one of the better junior college teams in California. And I like all the Last Chance U's. They recently made the transition to the basketball side. This is the second season after, I don't know, 5 or 6 seasons of football. I've watched every episode of Last Chance U, whether it's the football,
John
whether
Lance
it's the basketball.
Loved the football, and they used to have, I want to say, one of the coaches on.
Jason Brown, probably.
Yeah, and then I think there was some controversy with with the coaches.
Plenty of controversy with Jason Brown.
Yeah.
Plenty of controversy with Jason Brown.
I think they kind of steered away from that after that. But, yeah, I'd heard the stories on the bench quite a bit on the football side. And like I said, I knew because of playing with John that there was a show. I just haven't seen it. I'll have to try. We have Netflix.
Check it out. I think you would like it more than Real Estate Las Vegas. I think you might.
I don't do Real Estate Las Vegas.
Whatever it's called.
They canceled
that
show.
Canceled that show. It's a real show.
The Las Vegas one they canceled, which was also awesome. That was like where they were flipping houses. But the ones that I like are the million-dollar listings in New York and L.A.
What is your favorite sports reality television? Because, quite frankly, I like them all. Like I kind of geek out over all of them.
I don't watch the Hard Knocks season.
I'm caught up with it.
Cardinals?
Yeah, I caught up with it yesterday.
Okay.
So I saw the whole – remember we were talking about the offensive line coach that got in trouble for groping a woman in Mexico?
Right, yeah.
Which, what are you doing? They addressed it pretty good.
Really?
Yeah, I was pretty – they showed, like, Cliff Kingsbury addressing the team after it happened. They had the news report. They talked to a couple players about it. It was pretty cool. I like that they did that.
That's amazing that they were that open with it, because normally you try to keep it under wraps and sweep it under the rug like most leagues do so that it doesn't tarnish the reputation of team or league. But that's impressive. Yeah, because we did talk about it at the time, and we were kind of inquisitive as to if they would address it at all being in the middle of that. So that's interesting that they did that, but good for them.
So which one's your favorite sports reality? Because I like them all. The Last Chance U, the Hard Knocks, the All or Nothings on Amazon. I haven't met one that I haven't liked. Now, I haven't watched them all. I only watched kind of the mainstream ones.
Yeah, I haven't either. I was always big on Hard Knocks, and then lately it's become more hit or miss. There's seasons where they're really good, and the storylines that they're following kind of really get you to buy in. And then there's others that I just kind of yawn and ho-hum it and go, yeah, there's nothing really here that we don't already see or know on a weekly basis to catch my interest.
You know what's a good one, too, and they're actually coming out with multiple sports, is the Drive to Survive, the one on F1. And it's made made a lot of people like pretend to like F1. I'm not sure anybody actually does like F1, but they pretend to like F1 after watching this documentary. It's really good. Like the Drive to Survive is outstanding. I love the Drive to Survive, the documentary. I've not been able to get into F1, even though like I like to pretend to from time to time. But the same people that are doing the Drive to Survive on Netflix, they're going to do one on tennis. Which
aren't they also doing one on golf?
Yes, yes, they're doing one on tennis. They're doing one on golf too, and they're following around some pretty like heavy hitters too. So I'm pretty excited about that. I'm pretty excited about the tennis one too. So
I think from
to
a golf perspective, with the LIV Tour now, it might get even more interesting, because now you're going to get guys' perspectives, even maybe a little bit off the record and more casual in terms of their responses when you see Greg Norman and the LIV Tour and the animosity between him and Rory and the guys that are on either side of it.
That has a chance to be really good, depending on – I can't remember who they were following. But if they're following some really good people, that's got a chance to be really good.
No question.
Ocho on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. What is your favorite sports reality show? 713-780-3776. Ocho says Last Chance U was great. They tried Last Chance U basketball, but COVID hit right before the Cali school started the playoffs. That's what the one I'm talking about. And the new season is out. Like, I don't know if it dropped yesterday, two or three days ago, but I first noticed it yesterday. So this is like their first season back from COVID. And I forgot about that. Season one of Last Chance U basketball ended on the bus. Like, was the coach, like many college basketball programs back then, whenever COVID hit, and where he's telling his team they were about to leave for the, you know, state championship tournament or whatever, and he's like, oh, they canceled it, we're not going. Like, you turn the bus, head right back to the school.
I'm going to get the guy's full name, the point guard from season one. But now that you've told me enough about it, I definitely want to check it out, because I do enjoy stuff like that, and especially if you've actually played with somebody.
If you know them personally,
I think it's cool.
You need to start from season one then if you know that guy. Eric the Driver says, Drive to Survive got me into F1 and then into IndyCar, rally racing, and NASCAR. If you're Eric the Driver, you should like all of those motorsports. I still haven't been able to get into the actual sport. I like the behind the scenes. I like the story, but not all of that. 1179 says that his favorite sports reality show is Joe's versus Pros. I never really did Joe's versus Pros. Did y'all do Joe's versus Pros?
I remember Jerry Rice did it. I remember some people were doing it and some people took it more serious than others on the pro side. But I remember it briefly, but I never really watched it.
How long was that around?
I want to say like maybe 2-3 years. I didn't watch much Pros versus Joes. Maybe one episode tops, actually.
I remember it existing, but I feel like it disappeared as quickly.
Yeah, I don't really remember a whole lot of it. I do remember like the what you're talking about. I remember Jerry Rice being like on the commercial, but I never really watched the episode. I saw one too, like it's this Marine boot camp that they're doing now, where like Mike Piazza's
Dwight Howard, Mike Piazza. Who's the Olympian female Olympic soccer player that played here in Houston for the Dynamo?
She kicked the field goal in Hard Knocks.
Yeah, and then they ended up trading her because her fiance was a golf pro in New Jersey. She's on it, but look, that looks interesting because there's no prize money in that. That's just you know your intestinal fortitude and your toughness to be able to stick it out and pass all the tests.
Carly Lloyd.
There you go.
Carly Lloyd was the one who kicked that one. Someone else texted in because we said we're in cowboy country. Many people here think that we're in cowboy country. We're broadcasting live from Madison's in Beaumont. 9647 says, F the cowgirls, not cowboy country. A lot of exclamation marks. I don't think that's a – I don't know if that – we might have to cancel 9647 for that in cancel culture world. We might have to cancel that. All right, Killer Bees broadcasting live, Madison's in Beaumont. Swing on by, have a drink, make it a Miller Lite. Good food, good place to hang out. Say hello to the Killer Bees. Say hello to the Wheelhouse. They'll be here 3 to 7 as well. All right, so Lovie Smith. We don't know what the Texans are going to do with Lovie Smith. We all have our guesses. I think Blankers and I are on the side that they're probably going to fire him. Brendan's still not so sure. What do you think? Would the Texans fire him? But Herm Edwards, he thinks Lovie should get another year. Let's make a case for Lovie Smith getting another season with the Houston Texans. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about my good friend Doc Linville. I've been telling you about him for quite a while. I'll tell you about him anytime you want to hear about him because he is absolutely fantastic. Doc Linville gave me my hairline back, and he can do the same thing for you. Look, if you've got balding and thinning spots and you look in the mirror every day and you think the only thing you can do is shave your head or try all those experimental sprays and creams and foams that just mask the problem, you're missing the boat because Doc Linville specializes in the NeoGraft procedure, and it is a game changer because it's your own hair put where you need it, and it will solve the problem. It is fantastic. I did it. You will love it. If you're an ESPN listener, you get a free consultation with Doc Linville and his staff that normally costs $150. You can figure out if it's right for you, and it costs you nothing. Ask all the questions. Get all the answers and see if you want to be the next in line to get the NeoGraft from that baboon's butt that's showing its way on the back of your head to your 8-head instead of a 4-head because your hairline is dissipating and going fast. He can get it back for you, and he can get your self-confidence back and your appearance with it. Check him out today. Tell him I sent you by. Go to 975hair.com and set up an appointment and then ask all the questions. 95%+ of the follicles moved are going to stay and grow and be with you with the long haul. That is exactly why I did it. It might be the thing that convinces you to. Check him out. Tell him I sent you by. I love those people over there. They take great care of you. It's Doc Linville's office. Go to 975hair.com.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees broadcasting live, Madison's in Beaumont. Come hang out with us, have lunch, have a drink, say hello. When you have a drink, make sure it's a Miller Lite. All right, Houston Texans in action this Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs. That should be a doozy. Lovie Smith, head coach of the Houston Texans, hired however you want to describe it, maybe at the 11th hour, maybe by the maybe Cal McNair telling everybody to hire him. Anyways, Herm Edwards was saying that Lovie Smith should get another year. Here's what Herm Edwards had to say about the Texans head coach.
You want to give people opportunities, and obviously they're struggling. But Lovie's got them playing. It would have been nice if they had beat Dallas. They had a chance, obviously. And, you know, Lovie was – I've coached with Lovie, so I go way back with him in our days in Tampa. And good football coach, all that. We know that. We know, you know, what he achieved. He was in Chicago and all that stuff. But I just think when you start changing coaches every year, you can never build a foundation because every coach is going to have a different look of what he wants in players, right? And it starts with the quarterback, guys. They got to get a quarterback. If you don't have a quarterback, you know, the field's 150 yards long. I mean, it's just it's hard. It's hard to move the ball. And so that's the first thing they got to address. And then they got to say, okay, you know, what does this look like with Lovie being the coach? You can always, you know, head coaches, you know, they're administrators as well. I mean, they're always going to be strong on one side of the ball, but you can hire offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators. The head coach has to coach everybody.
Herm Edwards on the bench earlier with Granato and Lance advocating for Lovie. We're going to advocate for Lovie here in a moment for the fun of it. We had a guy walking out the door said fire him whenever we were talking about what do the Texans do with Lovie Smith. But what's funny about what Herm had to say, first and foremost, it's Herm Edwards, so you should understand that he's going to advocate for a coach. He's never going to say, oh, you should fire that coach. He would have advocated for David Culley. So I think you have to understand that, and you have to understand where Herm Edwards is coming from. And Herm Edwards was fired this season, so Herm Edwards probably has a soft spot for other coaches in the business, in the industry. What Herm used, though, is like the reason to keep Lovie Smith. Like, there really wasn't a whole lot of stuff there as to why the Texans should keep Lovie Smith. His best answer there was that they need to find a quarterback, and that comes first or foremost. That comes before anything else. See, I'm of the idea that if you get a quarterback, you can't go on with Lovie Smith.
No, I agree with you, Jeremy. I think the elephant in the room you know, when you look at it from different perspectives, I think Herm, I understand, because coaches never want other coaches fired, no matter what. And Jeff Van Gundy is one of the biggest poster children for that, where no matter what the situation is, and even when he was rumored to be the leading candidate for a job, if the, someone would still had the job, he didn't want to talk about it. He didn't want to talk about it to the team. He wanted to make sure that he gave the respect to that coach. And I think, you know, in the fraternity, that's like the unwritten rule. But I think outside of that, the biggest stumbling block and the thing that is going to really mess with the Texans the most, especially if they're thinking quarterback in the draft, but even if they're not, is the fact that it is an absolutely horrible look to go one and dones with two straight coaches. And then when you factor in that both were African American, it is going to ramp up everybody's scrutiny of the entire organization. The Texans already like to shy away from any kind of negative attention. They don't like the finger pointed at them. But when they do it 2 years in a row and they go into their third head coach, and then even with whoever they choose, it's going to be scrutinized even further to see if they go to a minority candidate. It's something that they are very keenly aware of, whether they admit it publicly or not, and I think that's why they're going to be apprehensive to move on from Lovie Smith.
I hear that. I understand that. And ultimately, you could be right, and it could be the way that they're thinking. And I don't really have a whole lot to argue to say that they're not. And this is kind of what we were talking about yesterday with the Texans operating out of, like, what is in the best interest from a fan's perspective? What's in the best interest of selling tickets? What's in the best interest of public perception and PR and all of that sort of stuff? Whenever I have an ownership and a team acting that way, it is difficult to support those teams. So I'm not saying that the Texans won't be thinking that way, but if they're keeping Lovie Smith for those reasons when there's better alternatives out there, I think that's a problem. And the Texans aren't caring about winning first and foremost.
Well, but I think in the perfect world, I totally hear what you're saying, because in the perfect world, you make the best decisions for your football team on the football side of things, and you don't worry about the PR and the business side and the marketing and the overall of what the reputation is of the franchise. But you know what? As we get it more and more into today's day and age of just society in general, and as it relates to sports, it's part of the business. And sometimes, as we've highlighted on numerous discussions, it's a bigger part of the business than you'd like it to be, because decisions are going to be made or not made because of it. And that's,
I think the Texans did it last year.
I was just going to say, that's exactly what I was referring to as well, that you saw it happen and unfold right in front of your eyes a year ago when they didn't do what they wanted to do from a football operations perspective. They did the safest thing they could do to avoid scrutiny because of the league-wide situation that was going on with Brian Flores. So it does factor in. I've been in a lot of situations in the front office where it's popped up and it's part of the discussions. At the end of the day, ideally, you would love it to be that the owner and the football side or basketball side or whatever team you're working for, they just make the best decision for their football team.
Yeah, that's what
it's just not that simple anymore.
That's what I want the Texans to do. But let's be Lovie Smith's agent for a moment. And we're trying to make the case for the Texans to keep on with Lovie Smith for another year. Make Lovie Smith the head coach going forward in 2023. The first thing that I'm saying is, look, we're way more than a quarterback away. Your team's way more than a quarterback away. You need to continue building around a strong defense with Jalen Petrie, already over 100 tackles. Derek Stingley, a promising player. I know he's been hurt lately. And we should be building around the defense. You punt on the quarterback decision for a year, and when you're building this defensive-oriented team, you need to have Lovie Smith for another year. You can throw in some of the reasons that you said as well. This is going to be a terrible look for your organization if you move on from Lovie Smith after moving on from David Culley after just one single season. That has to be the best sales pitch, I think, if you're Lovie Smith's agent trying to keep your job, Lovie Smith, another year with the Texans, is that, look, let's be a defensive-minded team, ground and pound on the offensive end. We'll replace the entire offensive staff, but I need to be the head coach for another year because I need to be the one grooming this young defense that has a lot of very good young players.
You want me to give you the harshest reality lawyer stance?
Yeah.
I'm going to go up to Cal and I'm going to say, you don't want that to happen if you don't want us running around, making the circuit, letting everybody know what a complete bleep show and circus you got running here in this front office. Starting with you and going all the way, we will leave no stone unturned. We will tell everybody in the free world what is going on, because this is an absolute bleep show. And if we leave and you do it again, it's going to get worse. We are your best security blanket to keeping everything under wraps and keeping the train moving forward down the tracks. Now, as it relates to football operations, we can also tell you we would be open to Lovie still being the head coach and replacing the offensive coordinator. And then kind of also touching on everything you said about defensively and whether you tell them to pass on a quarterback or not, you can tell them, hey, with the amount of picks that we have and basically capitalizing on the defensive picks we hit on a year ago, like Harris, like Petrie, hopefully Stingley, but and the guys we have in our defensive room, we can get better to where we can make an impact next season. So you can hit both sides of that, but those are going to be key to talk. If you're an agent and you really don't care about feelings and emotions, you're just going to lay it out and do the best thing you can for your client. That's what he's saying.
You sound like Busby there for a second.
Who? Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, I've been in enough negotiations with lawyers. I know exactly how these guys are going to attack.
I actually think Herm Edwards made a point that we haven't addressed it all this year. And to be clear, I still think that they should be moving on from Lovie. I think Herm is right that it's very difficult when you fire coach after coach after coach. Like, nobody is establishing a culture and like, a winning direction in 1 year. Like, it doesn't fully reset things because the roster is still moving forward. But it is like you can't ask a coach to turn things around in literally one season.
Here's the counterpoint that I would have with that, though. Like, what do you trust more, a bad coach in year two or a good coach in year one?
Oh, I think you trust a good coach in year one.
Right, that's where I'm at.
And again, you don't judge it by wins and losses per se, but if you have the control of the locker room and the practice field and your coaching staff looks like they're making inroads with players and seeing that development, then you can make strides. I think to Brendan's point, one thing that I lived through with the Les Alexander era too is you don't want the reputation of a revolving door. If you have the reputation of a revolving door, whether it be employees or whether it be head coaches, the next guy that's up for a job that's interviewing with you, you're going to see more guys like Eberflus did to the Texans a few years ago and said, I'm not interested. Because guys are going to say either they're looking for their first chance or maybe it's their last chance. They've been through the cycle a few times, had a few jobs. Why am I going to take this job unless I have immense job security even if you fire me? If I know that your reputation is your one and dones are more likely than not.
Well, that's what it is. It's money and it's guaranteed contracts. I mean, even David Culley had a pretty handsome contract with guarantees. I'm sure Lovie Smith did as well. Now, I agree to your point to an extent when it comes to coaches with multiple options. Like last year, if you're looking at Kevin O'Connell with Minnesota, if the Texans went the Kevin O'Connell route, he's probably saying no to the Texans to take the Minnesota job. But if there's a coach out there, look, it might be the fourth or fifth best coach. Like it might not even be the top of the class. It might be the fourth or the fifth, but if that's the only head coach offer that they have, they might have some, you know, grievances of like, well, you fire your coach every other year, like, or every year, the last two seasons, I'm going to need some security, I'm going to need some contracts, I'm going to need some guarantees, and the Texans will have to do that. But I don't think it's going to be like the end-all be-all to hire a quality coach. Now, I think it does take you out of consideration for like the top two or three.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think that you're right. Again, lawyer speak is, if my guy's going to consider going to Houston and you want him, we're going to need some things, some guarantees and some things in writing in the contract that's going to make us feel a little bit more at ease about the situation. Yeah. And that is going to be years, money, security, lots of different protections that are put in there. Because in the Culley contract, we heard initially that they were going to have to pay all of the remainder of it. Then we started hearing things come out about the fact through third-party channels, not so fast. They had some buyouts. They had some things where they don't necessarily have to pay him the majority of what's remaining. So you got to have a really good lawyer in this case, and you've got to make sure that you go in there and you play hardball with them because you know that what they've done over the last 2 years has basically set coaches up for failures, and you only get so many failures before the treads come off the retread title, and then you don't get jobs anymore.
To Brendan's point that he made, well, Herm's point that Brendan brought up, I think that the Texans had the perfect example to the counterpoint to that conversation last year. Did you trust David Culley in year two more than you trusted Lovie Smith in year one? You didn't. Now, maybe you should have because Lovie's won one game to this point, but I'm not a big believer in that, oh, you got to have a bad coach, establish culture, and that's how you build culture. No, give me the best coach. The best coach is going to establish culture no matter what has happened previously. 713-780-ESPN, our HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. He's at Pac-Man Joel. I'm at Jeremy Branham. All right, so the 49ers are on the road this week against a team that would be in the playoffs. with their starting quarterback out, the 49ers have the starting quarterback out, what it says about the Niners, what it says about the Seahawks, the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, a lot of people have a lot of time out, off around the holidays, and they look to do something with it. Maybe renovate the house. Maybe renovate the kitchen. Maybe clean out the garage or the attic. You want to get a whole bunch of stuff done. You maybe have a company in mind to do it. What you haven't thought about is who's going to clean up all the clutter left behind. That's why you go Vivia, because Vivia is the dumpster king. They have 10-yard and 15-yard roll-off dumpsters small enough to fit comfortably in your driveway, attractive enough to keep your neighborhood HOA off your tail, and there's going to be curb appeal because the dumpsters are not bad-looking, rusted and crusted, and looking like they've been through a war. The five-star service offers same-day pickup and delivery. If you want, just schedule them, and they're going to take care of you every step of the way. And for project managers, it's that simple for you, too. If you're a business and you do work all the time, but you haven't thought about who's going to get rid of all the trash, like Texas Custom Patios, who sponsors shows and is on our air, they use Vivia, too. If you go to Vivia, you'll find out that a lot of people go to them because they take out the trash and keep your hands clean while they do the dirty work. We use them for our golf tournament every single year, and they do fantastic work. Tell them you heard about it on ESPN 97.5. Just go to the website, govivia.com. That's govivia.com.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Madison's in Beaumont. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees live, Madison's in Beaumont. Johnny just came by, said hello. Be like Johnny. Come to Madison's in Beaumont. Say hello to us. Have a bite, have a drink, make it a Miller Lite. We'll be here till 3, of course. The Wheelhouse will be here until 7 o'clock. Coming up a little bit later, we're going to give away $50 gift cards to Drift Bar. Couple of times today, so make sure you're tuning into the Killer Bees until 3 o'clock. We want to buy you a couple of drinks at Drift Bar, and of course Killer Bees in the Wheelhouse will be at Drift tomorrow as well. Cole Thompson filling in for me, he'll be with Blankers. I wonder if Cole can annoy Blankers as much as I do. That will be
can get to those limits.
Interesting.
I doubt that that's gonna happen.
I'm not gonna tune in.
It's a Friday, you know. I like to coast into my weekend. I like to win on Who Said It, and then I like to have a good weekend. Don't screw with that.
Yeah, watch Cole come in and be a ringer with Who Said It. Who knows? All right, so San Francisco and Seattle play football tonight. San Francisco 9-4, Seattle 7-6. Both teams obviously very much in the playoff ramifications, playoff hunt. San Francisco, probably outside of Philadelphia, the second betting favorite to go to the Super Bowl out of the NFC. What's interesting about San Francisco, you look at this game tonight, it's in Seattle. It's with the 12th man. We all know about how Seattle can be a great home field advantage. Yet, with the game being in Seattle, with San Francisco without all of these players, Debo's not playing, we know Jimmy G's gone for the year, they have all of these injury concerns, yet they're 3-point favorites on the road tonight against Seattle. What does this say more about? Which team does it say more about? San Francisco being a 3-point favorite on the road against Seattle, or Seattle being a 3-point dog at home with Jimmy G gone, with Brock Purdy questionable, with Debo Samuel out?
I think it's telling on both fronts. I think it's telling on the Niners front that they have the best defense in football. And when that defense is rolling like it has been over the last 4 weeks, it doesn't matter how they get their offensive points. They're going to put you in so many chances to get points by doing what they did to Tom Brady a week ago that they are going to impact the football game in a positive way. They could dominate the football game in a winning way. And I think that's what it says more than anything else about the Niners. On the Seattle front, as much as they've been the Cinderella story all year, they have been struggling lately, and they have been stumbling. And they look like a team that is about to fall down and can't get up, as opposed to a team that's going to keep on rolling towards the postseason. Geno Smith has looked more like the Geno Smith that we've known ever since he's been in the league. We know that they aren't as full of weapons as most teams, but we know that their running game was big this year with young running backs. Those young running backs have been dinged up, and so they're not the same kind of football team. So as much as that home field advantage exists with the 12th men in Seattle, I believe it says that about the Seahawks, and it says more so about the fact that the Niners, no matter who's quarterbacking, have enough to win football games because of how good their defense is.
Thinking about this question, to me, it's difficult to say which one it means more for, right? San Francisco, Seattle, when you're talking about what does the point spread say, I think it tells a lot about both teams, quite honestly. It tells you that San Francisco, top two, top three team in the NFC, even without their quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, even like Brock Purdy's like expected to play. I understand that he's questionable on the injury report, but expected to play. It tells you that the 49ers are a loaded roster. They're a loaded team. They should be taken seriously as contenders in the NFC. It tells you they really don't need a quarterback with the style that they have. Kyle Shanahan, great offensive mind, running game with Christian McCaffrey. Debo Samuel's not playing today, but they have Ayuk, who's a really good number two receiver, too. It's like a poor man's Debo Samuel. And then, of course, the defense. Many people love D'Amico Ryans around these parts because he's leading that San Francisco defense and, of course, being a former Houston Texan as well. What it also says about Seattle is I think Seattle's kind of what their record is. Like, they're a mediocre team. They're an okay team that could get into the playoffs. They could also miss the playoffs. They're right there on that brink. They're average to slightly above average. And Geno Smith's having a very good season. I like the tools that they have offensively. Kenneth Walker is going to play today. We know we like DK Metcalf. Tyler Lockett's pretty good. But they're just a mediocre team in the NFL. We've seen them win games when they shouldn't win, and we've seen them lose games that they shouldn't lose.
And they should be very familiar with who they are because they're the Sonics team of years ago that had Brent Berry and Ray Allen and got out of the gates really, really hot, really fast. And by the time everybody was trying to establish playoff positioning, there was no turning back, and no matter how much they had stumbled, they were going to be one of the better seeds in the playoffs. And that's what the Seahawks have done this year. Everybody looked at them at the start of the year and were wondering who they'd be without Russ. Early on, people were guessing that of the top five teams in the league, Seattle wasn't one of them. But of the bottom five teams in the league, a lot of people had the Seahawks as one of the worst five teams in the NFL. They got off to a hot start. They won games we didn't think they could win. And now everybody's going, well, when does the clock strike midnight on Cinderella? When does the carriage go away, turn back into a pumpkin, and this team goes away? Well, I think it's tinkering, and I think that the cart's losing wheels. So they've got to pick it up and put it together fast if they want to see this thing through. I've never been a Geno Smith believer. I've watched him play enough this season to go, he looks a lot better than I've ever seen him play. He's made some really good throws. Like you mentioned, it helps when you got Metcalf and Lockett. If Walker plays, that's a big bonus for them because they feel like they really found somebody in him. So they're going to look to ball control. They're going to look to take advantage of the crowd. And I don't know if the weather's going to be a factor or not, but in most times in Seattle, it does play a part. And they're going to look to try and make sure that they don't allow the defense to wreak havoc of the Niners by doing whatever they can to kind of keep it structured, not to try and do too much and give up a big play.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, our HRMP listener line. Let's go out there for Julian. Julian, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Julian?
How you doing, gentlemen? Bang, 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 Niner game. In Brock, we trust. So listen, man, I think tonight's going to be a really boring game for the general fan. I think 17-9 with Walker getting about 85 yards and then McAfee getting about 100. And then I think the one that I like is Mason, our undrafted running back. He is a beast. He runs hard, and they can't mess with our defense, man. I mean, we're pretty locked in over there.
Oh, okay.
Julian's a San Francisco fan. No, he wears his fandom on his sleeve, and Pat McAfee is going to run wild through that Seattle Seahawks defense. He's going to dash them. He's going to gash them. He's going to run all over the Seattle Seahawks. Of course, he meant Christian McCaffrey. He brought up Brock Purdy, though, because this is the thing whenever you look at San Francisco. When they lost Jimmy Garoppolo, there's instant reaction, and rightfully so. Okay, this takes a hit to their Super Bowl chances, which it should. I mean, you go from Jimmy Garoppolo to Brock Purdy, that's a pretty significant drop, even if you don't think much of Jimmy Garoppolo. And, of course, Brock Purdy, the third starting quarterback San Francisco's had this year after Trey Lance, after Jimmy Garoppolo, now Brock Purdy. Does quarterback matter for the 49ers at all with what they do offensively?
Look, I think quarterback matters, period, just because of what we've talked about, it being the most important position in all professional sports. I think that it matters less, and you can get by more with a game manager, as much as we've said that title fluctuates and can be looked at as more of a negative than it was in the past. But that's basically what Jimmy G has always been. And Jimmy G is the ultimate game manager for a Niners team that can win and beat you a multitude of ways because of the creativity and play calling of a Kyle Shanahan with all the weapons that he has to use. He knows from week to week with the weaknesses of another team's defense where he can exploit it just enough to do what they need to do, and then also trust in the fact that the defense with D'Amico Ryans and all the guys that he has to play with are going to do their jobs, and they're going to do it really well. And so I don't know. The thing is they still need a quarterback when they get to the playoffs because there's going to be those moments.
But it's going to be Brock, right? I mean, there's really no choice.
I mean, you know, I think when, like you had mentioned, teams might play defensive on the Niners who were looking to probably kick the tires on a Baker Mayfield or a veteran. And I think when the Rams swooped in and did that, I think that, you know, they were forced to kind of look at it from a different direction. Now, Jimmy G may come back. They said,
yeah, they say it's pretty low, but possible.
Yeah, it's possible the deeper they go in the playoffs that he could actually be available. But again, I think that if you just keep, and Shanahan is a good guy to do that, where he just preaches to Purdy, don't try and overdo it. Don't do too much. Know what the defense is showing you. Trust that we're telling you the right play and go with it, because this is why they got Christian McCaffrey. Because getting a Christian McCaffrey provides you insurance when the injury happens to Debo, but more so than that, it provides you with a weapon that can kill you in so many ways, that can give you that 4 or 5 yards almost every time he touches the ball to make second down easier, to sustain drives better. And I think that, like we just talked about, with all those weapons that they have, and we didn't even mention one of the best tight ends, George Kittle, to where as long as he just doesn't try to do too much, he's got too much around him for them to lose football games unless they play in Eagles, and I think that's what everybody's talking about. It's probably going to be the Eagles and the Niners at the end of the day, and we'll see who's a better overall team. But those are the two most loaded teams, and the Niners don't need a superstar quarterback.
Do you guys think the 49ers are Super Bowl contenders if there's no Jimmy G in the playoffs, like if it is Brock Purdy the rest of the way?
I actually do, simply because of what we just said.
Do you think any other team in NFL history, I shouldn't say history, but like since passing has been a part of the game?
Yeah, the Bears with Rex Grossman come to
mind
right
away.
But they didn't lose Rex.
They probably would have liked to.
Has anyone ever lost two quarterbacks in a season and been a Super Bowl contender?
No, I don't think
that's
so.
That's insane.
I mean, you think Nick Foles? So, like,
I was going to say Philly lost one, but and won it with Nick Foles, and that was late in the year, and you know, the perfect storm happened. Losing two, I mean, think about just how much that sets you back in terms of bringing in someone off the street because the deadline's passed, and trying to get them to catch up on your entire playbook.
Yeah,
Brock's tough, man.
Brock's not bad. He's pretty good. I'm sorry,
but the
quarterback situation with San Francisco, though, to Brendan's point, like, it matters. Yes, absolutely, it does. You take a drop off at any position, it matters. Now, I think that it's less impactful for San Francisco than literally every team in the rest of the league. So, like, yes, it hurts San Francisco, but it hurts San Francisco less than it would have hurt anybody else in the NFL because of what Shanahan does. Because they're going to do, you know, the ground and pound. They're going to score. They're going to run for a ton of yards. And then also they have a great defense. So, like, you take care of the ball. You don't turn it over. You score a few points. You get it in the hands of your defense. You're going to win games. Like, that's Brock Purdy's, like, it has to be his priorities, taking care of the football. And you know that Kyle Shanahan's drilling that in his head. 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. What is the state of the American League West? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, you know what? I was thinking about it on the drive down here. You are less than 2 weeks away from Christmas. And if, guys, you have been doing everything but doing what you were supposed to be doing, taking care of that significant other, getting some gifts to put under the tree, well, look, I'm here to save the day because there's still time for you. And it starts with Pajamagram.com because it's the gift that keeps on giving. You get your significant other a fantastic gift that she is absolutely going to love. And, oh, by the way, it's the gift that it keeps on giving, because when she wears it for you, you guys will both benefit too. It's absolutely fantastic. They're called naturally nude pajamas. They feel just like her soft skin. And she's going to love the way they feel. You're going to love the way they look. And they're actually offering a great deal right now, where if you order right now, you're not only going to get those pajamas, but you're also going to capitalize by getting a nightie as well. And that's a $75 savings on a best-selling holiday gift, a naturally nude nightie along with the naturally nude pajamas. And it's all one big package. It's all wrapped for you, and it's going to be delivered by Christmas. It's absolutely fantastic. It saves you from going to the mall, hunting for parking spots, fighting the crowds, wrapping the gift yourself so you look like a complete schlep. This is the way you handle it all, and you never have to leave either your phone or your computer to get it done. And like I said, it's a gift that's going to keep on giving to you when she puts it on. In a year filled with the unexpected, get her something she can count on. You're going to love these things. Check them out today. All you got to do is go to pajamagram.com. That's pajamagram.com and order the naturally nude pajamas. Tell them Joel Blank sent you by.
Brendan asked us the question, has there ever been a team in history, or at least that comes to mind, that is really to be taken seriously as a Super Bowl contender that is down to its third quarterback? Because, of course, the 49ers lost Trey Lance. They lost Jimmy Garoppolo. They're now playing with Mr. Irrelevant Brock Purdy, and all signs point to them riding with Brock Purdy the rest of the way. Somebody texted in and said the Baltimore Ravens with Dilfer. Dilfer was the backup, though. Dilfer took over for Tony Banks. So that's not the same thing. I mean, it's the second-string quarterback versus the third-string. B-Mac, who's our on-site engineer today and does a pretty mediocre job. I'm just kidding. He does a fantastic job.
But you know what he does? He shows up every day.
hobbling sometimes, though.
He fights through injuries to be here.
That's true.
Where Brendan Riley fights through work to try and get away.
Yeah. Brendan's here all 4 days, though. It's nice for him to finish up the week, have a complete week, these 4 days.
Guess what?
Can either of you remember the last day I had off? I'm just curious.
Yeah, it was like two and a half weeks ago.
There was one for a medical, too.
You can't just say two and a half weeks. That's just
there was one for a medical in the last 2 weeks.
I don't chart the dates that you're gone. I just know that you're gone.
It's been a while, is all I'm saying.
You celebrate them, you just don't chart them.
I don't have a Branham diary that I write these things into, Brendan. I write the other things I think about you in my diary. Anyways, BMAC mentioned T.J. Yates. If you go back to the early 2010s, whenever the Texans were a good team, they had Matt Schaub. Matt Schaub got hurt. Might have been the Liz Franck, right? And then Leinart got his collarbone broken the first start that he was in.
Yep.
And remember, T.J. Yates came in, finished up the season, played in the playoffs, and was very competitive against the Ravens in a game that they lost.
What about on the flip side, the Raiders, the year they played the Texans in the playoffs, and they did the same thing. They went through two quarterbacks, and then they got beat. They just couldn't do anything at NRG.
The question would be, though, were either of those two teams contenders? Because I would say that the Raiders were not.
No.
Texans? Probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not. Like, not at least, not to the point that the 49ers are the contenders in the NFC. Somebody else asked a question, too. 3227. If the quarterback isn't important in San Francisco, I wouldn't go that far. I would just say it's less important in San Francisco than other places. But he says, if it's not important in San Fran, why do you think they traded up for Trey Lance? And do you think they regret it?
I think they regret it. I think that they saw a boatload of physical talent that Kyle Shanahan, the mad scientist of offensive NFL play calling, thought, man, if I had this kid and I could develop him, we could be really good for years. And look, he also knows right under his own nose, right there in San Francisco, when Harbaugh took the job and used a second-round pick on Kaepernick, all of a sudden, Alex Smith, who was your starter, who was, by basically everyone's opinion, a really good NFL quarterback, was suddenly shown the door after he was shown the bench, and he would never return as a starting quarterback. And they got to a Super Bowl. They looked like they were going to go on a run for a lot of years. So I think Shanahan probably saw Lance and saw the opportunity to extend this run for the Niners and be really, really good for a long period of time with a young, talented quarterback. And what he didn't calculate for, that no one really can, is how quick. One, injuries, and two, how quickly a kid from a smaller school, or any school for that matter, can get to the next level and process everything on a play-by-play basis you got to do as a quarterback.
I don't think that they regret it, and if you're asking me why they did it, they did it because they felt like it would raise their ceiling.
Took a chance to win for a long time.
Yeah, so I understand why they did it. They wanted to raise the ceiling. They felt like Jimmy Garoppolo was kind of capped with who he was. They felt like they were kind of capped with Jimmy Garoppolo. And if you just throw in a really uber-athletic quarterback to what they do, just another element. I also think it's unfair to all of a sudden close the book on Trey Lance. Like, Trey Lance has started very few games in the NFL, got hurt very early this season. Who's to say that Trey Lance wasn't going to explode this year if it weren't for injury?
Well,
so I think it's difficult
Lewis Riddick
to say.
And a couple people, it's funny because you're right. by no means is the book closed. But now you have another chapter that's a negative. It's one when we were hearing all these things, and I was talking to people that were telling me, look, at practice, he just still doesn't look good. He's still not grasping progressions and reading defenses and doing a lot of things a starting quarterback has to do. But then on top of it, now you're talking about a significant injury, and you're looking at it going, okay, now he's kind of behind the eight ball more, and he's got more to overcome than just trying to get his feet wet and established on the NFL level. So I don't think when you look at it, you say they regret making the move.
Right.
But I think that the gamut is so wide, right? On one end of the spectrum, you got the Lewis Riddicks and the guys that said at the start of the year, he's going to win the MVP. And you got the other guys that that looked at it and said, I don't think he's ever going to work out as the quarterback of the Niners.
Lewis Riddick also said Clyde Edwards-Helaire was going to win the MVP in his rookie year. So maybe glad he's not the general manager of the Houston Texans, eh? 713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. 1317 says the Miami Sharks with third-string quarterback Willie Beeman. Was Beeman the third-string, or was he the backup? I thought he was the backup, too. If he was the backup, bad text, 1317. If he was the third-string, wonderful text, 1317. Great pull. All right, what is the state of the AL West? We know the Houston Astros, outside of the COVID year, have dominated the AL West. They've dominated the American League. They've been the best team in Major League Baseball. They are a dynasty. The general manager of Seattle, Jerry DePoto, he was doing some television, and he talked about the state of the American League West and brought up the Houston Astros.
The AL West has gotten so much more interesting in the last couple of weeks alone with what the Rangers have done, the moves that you guys started to make, dating back to the Teoscar Hernandez acquisition. It's going to be a lot of fun this year.
I'm hoping the Astros will go back to the National League at some point.
That's true.
Up a little window for us. Now that the West is going to be really competitive.
So there you go.
Well, you know your Seattle for fan friends and fan base that you love to tinker with. They didn't like that because they want to have that overconfident, ballsy approach that, hey, we're here now.
I mean, Seattle was very happy finishing second place to the Astros last year and making the playoffs. They thought it was like winning the Super Bowl. Like, I think that they planned a parade for winning the wild card.
Astros crushed their Super Bowl twice in 1 year. In the regular season and in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I related. Remember, after the All-Star break, the Astros actually played the doubleheader against the Yankees, then went to Seattle for a three-game series. And Seattle's like, oh, this is our opportunity to get back into the AL West. We're going to make it loud, dog. We're going to make their life miserable, dog. I want Seattle to have a reputation, dog. And then the Astros went in there and just swept them. Swept them in the three-game series and just, like, ruined their regular season. And then they swept them in the ALDS. Although Seattle was competitive in the ALDS. It was a close sweep, if a sweep can be close, and I think
it was
that
four
it
games,
be.
Even though they got swept in three.
Right, yeah, because you had the 18-inning marathon game in game three. What I would say to this, though, is that, like, if you're asking the question, because I actually agree with him. I think that the American League West is going to be more competitive this year than it was last year. I think Seattle is going to be a year better, and they've added to that team full season of Luis Castillo. They've been active in the offseason. Julio Rodriguez.
Hernandez.
I mean, even if you just factor in what should be the natural development of a budding superstar, right? Like, you would expect him to be closer to his peak in his prime. He's going to have a better year this year than he did last year.
If he can stay healthy.
Sure. And that's all. I mean, it's an if for everybody, but Rodriguez because of the back.
Yeah, the back. And they were saying that this is like a debilitating back injury. It's not one of those nagging, like, strained a disc or something.
And he's not playing left field and DH. Like, he's not being protected. Like, you're playing center field, that's taxing. That's difficult to do day in, day out. I think that's why Toronto signed Kevin Kiermaier, is so George Springer doesn't have to play center field day in, day out, because they want to protect their investment there as well. The Rangers, they spent big money. Do we think the Rangers will be significantly better? Some people don't. I think they'll be better by default. Like, they're going to be better because they spent some more money. You see, like, the A's, I don't know if anybody's ever going to take the A's seriously. And I think the Angels have made some shrewd moves, not enough to be at the top of the AL West, but better than they were a year ago. So I think that the AL West will be a better division overall than it was a year ago. And last year, they still had two teams that made the playoffs. Perhaps the Angels can steal another wild card. Maybe you have three. Now, do you think it's inconceivable, though, that the Astros don't win the division in the American League West next year?
I don't think it's inconceivable, but I think it's not probable. I think that, you know, you go team by team, and I think some of them are using the same blueprint. I look at an Angels team that, one, never can stay healthy, and two, never can find the right pitching to try and back up their five big contracts or four big contracts that they like to throw out there and then try to get a minor league team around them and expect that the minor leaguers are going to hold up their end of the bargain and they're going to stay competitive. The Rangers are kind of in that same blueprint now, where they're going to pay mega deals to Jacob deGrom and Seager who's the
Simeon.
Marcus Simeon, and they're looking at Benintendi to possibly be in the outfield and then hope to fill the gaps around him and hope that that's enough to at least get to the playoffs or compete with their in-state rival in the Astros. The Mariners are the best team in the division other than the Astros that have a chance to kind of push them, and they're actually aggressively making moves that aren't overreaching and overspending. They're doing enough while spending money to better, put a better team around them. They knew that Winker wasn't a guy that produced once they traded for him from Cincinnati. They understood where their shortcomings were, so they added Hernandez in the outfield. That gives them a more consistent bat. They're doing the things necessary to try and be a more complete team. Whether that's enough to compete with the talent of the Astros, it's up to anybody's guess. I don't think so, but I think it makes them a team that will make the playoffs again or be right there to make the playoffs again because they're doing it the right way.
I think there's a path there that I want to lay out. I don't want to do it, but I've been challenged to do it. And I think it's very, very minuscule, but possible. 713-780-ESPN. Is it inconceivable for the Astros not to win the AL West? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees live from Madison's and Beaumont on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.